But thank y'all for being obedient. We're right here. We're definitely going to continue this series. I'm excited to continue this What Would Jesus Do? It's a play off What Would Jesus Do, but it's What Would Jesus Pray. You remember that? We used to get those bracelets, What Would Jesus, WWJD. And so it kind of phased out. I don't know why it phased out, but this is What Would Jesus Pray. And so I hadn't planned on reading this prayer or saying it from memory, but let's say it together, the Lord's Prayer. Ready, set, go. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen. That's enough. That's the format there that should keep us aligned. That's enough. That's enough right there in itself to really honestly put the world back in order, in alignment. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Plus, Jesus gave us that format himself. That's not what I was going to talk about today, but I felt led to do that corporately with you guys. What would Jesus pray? Last week we talked about this worldview that many people have that basically rejects God as the creator. So in other words, if they're rejecting God as creator, they're not honoring God as the one who created us. And so there's also this worldview last week we talked about where either an atheist or an agnostic. So atheist, everybody say atheist. Basically, you reject God as creator. You don't believe in God. And agnostic is, y'all remember what class? Agnostic is basically someone who doubts, don't know, doesn't really know. They're right on the fence. I guess they feel like they don't have enough evidence. And so there was a scripture that we lifted last week. If you're going to go to God, believe that he exists. Everybody say, believe that he exists. Actually, believing that God exists is an important piece of the prayer puzzle. How are you going to go to God if you don't think he exists? You would never sit in a chair that you don't trust. You guys are sitting in a chair because you trust the chair. We pray to a God because we trust God. So I got a question for the atheists or for you guys about the atheists. Do atheists have the ability? Sorry, guys, I do have handouts. While these are being passed out, do atheists have the ability to pray? And you'll see this in your handout. You can fill it in. Do atheists, what y'all think? Do atheists have the ability to pray? Those who do not believe, their worldview is God doesn't exist. The agnostic has doubts or don't know that God exists. Agnostic, knowledge is no, there's no knowledge about, like, I don't think the agnostic, we don't have enough information to definitely say that God exists. So if you're walking around with questions, you're saying I don't know, or you reject God, then prayer is not a priority if you have this worldview. And if prayer is not a priority, what does that mean? So do atheists have the ability to pray? What y'all think? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Damn. Thumbs down. I said, do atheists have the ability to pray? I wonder, do unbelievers realize when they are ungrateful? Imagine I'm an atheist and I'm grateful. I'm an atheist or agnostic and I am grateful. I think atheists, when they are grateful or giving thanks or walking around saying, I'm just so grateful, they are stealing elements of prayer. How are you going to not be a believer? How are you going to be an unbeliever and be grateful? What are you grateful in? How are you going to be thankful as an atheist? Who are you thankful to? If an atheist, if they are glad to be alive, they are demonstrating some form of prayer. This is my humble opinion. Amen. When you are in awe of what God created, you're really praying. Like, how are you going to be an atheist and then walk around and look at the lake, at the ocean, and say, this is awesome? All is the root word of awesome, which is reserved for who? God. Only God. That's why I got to be careful these days. Man, that's awesome. I used to type emails. Somebody said, give me some good news, and I'll type awesome. I was like, that should only be reserved for who? An immaterial, spaceless, timeless, powerful, intelligent God who deserves awesome. Everybody say, God is awesome? So when the atheist is hoping for something to come out all right, guess what he or she is doing? Stealing elements of prayer. Because who are they hoping to? I don't believe, but I'm hoping. Well, who are you hoping in? Because the worldview of an atheist is wrapped in evolution, it's wrapped in materialism, it's wrapped in they are called naturalists. Everybody say evolution, or if you want to write it down, evolution, naturalists, materialists. In other words, if you're hoping in matter, then that won't get you very far. Hoping in the chair won't get you very far. Hoping in a watch won't get you very far. Amen. Hoping in a palm tree, I hope to be there soon, but it ain't likely. But hoping in a palm tree, the palm tree just threw me off. I want to look at a palm tree. Come back. Hoping in a palm tree won't get you very far. So an atheist was in the woods hiking. I like to hike. I know you're in the balcony, you like to hike, but an atheist was in the woods and hiking, and a bear came after the atheist. The atheist got so scared, the atheist looked up to heaven and said, oh my God, help me, because it saw a bear. And a voice from heaven came down and asked, does that mean you want to be a Christian? Because the atheist looked up to heaven and said, oh my God, help me. And so the atheist was like, nah, bro, I'm not trying to be a Christian. Can you make the bear a Christian? And it was so. First of all, this whole series is about communication. What the atheist in this story does not realize, he is communicating with God. And anytime you communicate with God, you're doing what? You're praying. It's like by default, you are going to communicate with God, whether you want to or not. Especially when you see a 20-foot bear, you say, oh my God, a voice from heaven came down, and the atheist asks God. You asking from God. You asking something from God, atheist. Anyway, make a long story short, the bear was now a Christian. The bear was about to attack the atheist, then a miracle happened. Everybody say miracle. We serve, we pray to a God of miracles. That's what atheists have to realize. Amen. They're hoping, they need to hope in God. Amen. Because there's even in this room, we have some serious needs. Amen. We know some people that have some serious needs that if God don't do it, ain't going to get done. Amen. I'm trying to really milk this story. All right. So the bear paws came out to basically attack the atheist. And a miracle happened. And actually, since the bear was a Christian, the bear put his paws like this and bowed his head. And the bear said, God, I honor you and I bless you for this food that I'm about to receive. Let it be used for the nourishment and the strength of my body. Be careful what you... Why y'all laughing? That was terrible. Y'all must need a laugh. Y'all must need a friend this morning. That laugh, maybe it was genuine. So we're going to break down this prayer acronym in the time I have left. P, just in case I don't finish everything. I ain't trying to be a hero. I ain't trying to wear your patience. So we'll give you the slides, and it can be on the website. But I likely will not finish. P for proximity. If you write it down for me. P for proximity. R for reap if you faint not. A, ask in Jesus' name. Y for yield. I'm actually going to make Y-E-R yield to the ecosystem and response of God. Yield to the ecosystem and response of God. I think we need one, a couple of more. One back here. One more worksheet in the back. Oh, you got one. Okay. Okay, good. All right. So one more time. Proximity, reap, ask in his name, yield to the ecosystem and response of God. All right. P, proximity. Everybody say proximity. What is the proximity of prayer to your problems? Do you choose to panic before pray? Do you choose to be perturbed when a problem arises? Thank you for your honesty. Do you choose to focus on your pain before praying? If I had a timer and a problem arise in your life, and this timer was basically going to time how quick you chose prayer over being perturbed. I ain't trying to embarrass any of us, including me. But what would that timer reveal? Problem, boom, the timer hits, boom, 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 boom. It's been 2 days and you have not chose to pray about this problem. What's the proximity of prayer in relation to your problem? Some, it may be 2 minutes. It's 2 minutes too long. It's 2 seconds too long. Problem, timer, boom, prayer. How long did it take for you to pray about the problem? Did you panic before pray? Did you get perturbed? That's my hand. My hands goes up. So next we're going to talk about, as it relates to proximity in prayer, is where and what Jesus prayed. These are places that Jesus prayed. And so next month, around about this time, we're going to be getting close to going to the Garden of Gethsemane. All right. John 17, 1 says, if you can see it on the screen, let's read it together. This is a place where Jesus prayed. What did Jesus pray? And where did Jesus pray? The location of your prayers, the proximity of your prayers as it relates to your problems. John 17, 1, read it with me. Ready, set, go. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Verse 4, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. This is Jesus praying. All right. Verse 5, Jesus says, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Notice the content of this prayer, too. Jesus has no regrets living for God in this prayer. Christians in the room, we're all 100% believers. Amen. Raise your hand. But are we okay with how God has set us up in this hotel called earth? Are we okay with the stay? Are we okay with our lot? Amen. Jesus in this prayer, in this passage, he's okay. He has no regrets living for God. He has no regrets. As a matter of fact, Jesus' prayer is basically, God, you get the glory from my life. I ain't where I want to be. Anybody, raise your hand if you're right where you want to be in life. I want you to raise your hand. I'm tempted to ask you to stand up because I want to see what it looks like for a person to be right where you want to be in life. Raise your hand if you feel like, yeah, I'm a little off where I want to be. Raise your hand. That's probably every one of us in the room. Jesus is like, you know what? In this passage, some crazy things were happening to Jesus and were about to happen. And he was like, I'm good with it. God, you get the glory. Number two, cross, where Jesus prayed. The proximity of prayers to your problem. Proximity of prayers to your problem. Jesus is on the cross, nails in his hand, nails in his feet, haters in front of him. Seems like they have the upper hand. Jesus says three prayers on the cross. I think he said more, but these are three popular prayers. One, he prayed for others. If you're writing this down. Two, he asked God an honest question. Number three, he yielded. He prayed a yielding type of surrendering prayer. All right. Luke 23, 34, Jesus said on the cross, in the heat of the moment, in a hot situation, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The proximity of prayers to your problems, or in this case, to your haters. People are mistreating you. The timer is going on. Boom. 1, 2, 3. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So obviously, this is an example how we should treat our haters or people that mistreat us, knowingly and unknowingly. Amen. We've all been mistreated. Father, forgive them. It takes some time to get to that level of maturity. Amen. Because sometimes we want to do the Medea. I'm going to get you before you get me. Number two, Matthew 27:46. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The level of honesty talking to God. This series to me, when I think about it, it's about communication. Sometimes me and Lex, we're on one accord, but this communication piece can just be hairy. Amen? Anybody been in a relationship trying to communicate and the words are misconstrued? Well, I didn't mean that. What I meant to say, you are beautiful. Well, am I beautiful every day? Yes, you're beautiful now, today, and forevermore. In other words, like in life, even when we're trying to communicate with people, it's like we're trying to do our best to communicate and vibe together so we can understand each other. And we ain't going to get it right. Amen? We are understood and we are misunderstood, especially in school, young man. It's like communication is just crazy because you can't communicate how you text, right? Because it's like you can't communicate in real life with emojis. Like, imagine if I come to you in school and you're like, what's up? What emoji is that? I mean, so it's like in 2022, communication is just, don't even ask nobody to write a letter or send an email. Was doing some school shopping yesterday, and I asked some teenagers, I'm like, what do seniors and teenagers need in school? And pens seem like to be for seniors and high schoolers it's very low on the request because they're using computers, they're using technology. All right. I use computers every single hour. I'm not shading that, but I'm saying that actually does something to how we communicate. That old school way of writing and putting sentences together, amen, and honoring periods and commas and quotation marks. I'm not that guy, so I'm not judging you. I'm just saying it's something to be able to communicate like that, amen. Why am I even right here? Why am I saying all of that? I don't know why I'm saying all of that. I just kept going and kept going and kept going. I don't know why I said that, but this series, I do know why I said that, because this series is about communication. If me and you can't get it right, do you think we're going to get it right with God all the time? Who is spaceless, timeless, immaterial. Say that with me, spaceless. I keep saying that every week, you know, whenever I can for a reason. He's spaceless, timeless, immaterial, all-knowing, powerful, ultra-intelligent. So do you think me and God are going to see eye to eye all the time? Or he's going to see eye to eye with me? His ways are higher than our ways. We're trying to communicate, pray. We're trying to figure this thing out. I'm up here teaching this morning, but I got more questions than I do have. Teachable talks. I don't know whatever that means. It's like, God, how you want me to communicate with you? I'm asking and ain't getting done. This world is in a mess. I'm supposed to have the authority to communicate with you to get things done. Amen. I'm asking for healing and it ain't getting done. I'm frustrated. I'm stressed. It can't seem to pray it off of me. Got bullies all around me. XYZ, if you're listening, I got bills piled up to the ceiling. Where are you, God? I'm 20 years behind schedule and I'm 40. God, I need you to catch me up. And so we have this expectation when we're communicating. Hey, everybody. Good morning, everybody. See, I had an expectation for you to say good morning back. It didn't happen. I don't know why it didn't happen. Now, y'all see how hard it is to communicate? You see, like, it's just that's how it is with God sometimes. It's like crickets. Good morning, God. I feel like y'all went to sleep for like 2 seconds. Jesus prayed in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem, of course, the cross, we know what the cross represents, where we just came from. But Jerusalem is a place where Jesus had a lot of conflict. We are going to Jerusalem next month. I've already stated that. I'm just really excited, nervous, excited. I don't know what to expect. But this place represents a place of conflict and trouble. And when conflict and trouble enters your life, prayer should be quick. Quick. We got to grab prayer off the shelf quick. Don't let that timer, guys. Don't consider not letting that timer run too long. Consider that, guys. Tell you what I know. John 12 says, verse 27, Jesus is praying. The proximity of prayers to your problems. The proximity of prayers and your problems. Jesus says, now my soul is troubled. We got a problem. And what shall I say? What shall I pray? Jesus is praying this. Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Do y'all see the conflict in this prayer? The conflict. God, listen, y'all better be honest with God. He knows he made you. God, I hate you. No, I don't hate you. I know that's strong. But for shock factor, y'all like, you can't hate God. But I know you feel that in your spirit. God, keep me alive. God, kill me. God, I love you. God, you get on my nerves. Shock factor. I know you're like, sir, I know you're not saying that. But if you're feeling it, you're saying it. If it's in your spirit, you're saying it. Amen. It's just not audible. God, why did you do this? God, I thank you. God, I'm disappointed in you. Jesus himself is talking to the Father. And y'all see the conflict in this prayer in John 12. Father, glorify your name. Be careful when you ask God to get the glory. When you say, God, you get the glory, what does that really mean? God, get the glory. God, in this church, House of Judah, we're praying, God, you get the glory. What does that mean? Because God may add and he may subtract just to get the glory. It don't feel good, but he may add and subtract to get the glory. He may do that. Amen. Verse 29, the crowd that was there and heard it saying, they heard Jesus praying and being in conflict with his Father. I think we should be open with the next generation about, especially us as believers, about how we feel about God in a moment. But yet let them see that we want God to get the glory. The Bible says here that the crowd heard Jesus praying and they heard it said, and it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. So in other words, a voice came from heaven. God responded to Jesus. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Y'all think about that passage. What went on? Jesus prayed. He talked to God. God responded. Jesus said, God, you get the glory. This was all done in front of people so they could teach them a lesson. Bethany, can't remember what number this is. Jesus prayed in a place called Bethany. All right, y'all all right? It's only 11:26. But I don't want to get too comfortable because I'll be here about 12:26 if I ain't careful. All right. Good air this morning. Y'all feel the air? God is good, ain't he? What if the air was out? I probably wouldn't be saying that. Y'all see how we flesh. It's just like we up. We can be up and down. Amen. Don't let us be hungry. Don't let us be hungry. Right? Am I right about it? I mean, we humans are interesting. God has to deal with a lot of people and their whatever. Y'all thought about that? But he can handle it because he's a spaceless, timeless, immaterial, all-powerful, all-knowing, ultra-intelligent God. Amen? That's who we are praying to. What would Jesus pray? In Bethany, I don't know if I'll get to it today, but in John 11, it records this the situation between two Marys, Mary. All right, Mary, not Eric and Tina Campbell, but Mary in the Bible. Right? Amen. So Bethany is basically a location that records these two women being fearful and doubtful. Everybody say fearful, doubtful. So basically, Lazarus died, and they were fearful in front of Jesus. How are you going to be fearful in front of Jesus? Jesus is standing right there, and you are fearful. I'm not judging them by no means, but I am just saying, if we have Jesus living in our heart, we shouldn't fear. Amen? Amen? We should not fear. They had a living represent, like God in the flesh, and they were fearful. So much, they kept asking Jesus, where have you been? And Jesus kept the response, and the scripture said that Jesus basically got sad. They kept asking Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother Lazarus would have not died. And Jesus, the Bible kept recording Jesus being like disturbed or sad. Why was Jesus sad? I'm getting ahead of myself, but we're here. Why was Jesus sad? They kept asking Jesus, if you would have been here, then this bad situation wouldn't have went from bad to worse. Jesus, if you would have been here, so they're being honest, but then the scripture says that Jesus was sad. He was disturbed. He was basically, it's like if this was a visual, it's like Jesus is like, Was he sad? Option one, was he sad that Lazarus died and he wasn't there in time? Number two, was he sad or disappointed at their unbelief in him being able to raise Lazarus from the dead? One or two. Y'all vote, so you won't go to sleep. Two, let me see it. One or two.
I think he was still sad because Lazarus was his friend. But he
That's what I was hoping.
Okay. But I think the unbelief was big.
So you put both answers so you can hope the teacher will give you 100 on the test. I know how you roll.
I'm going for extra credit.
Extra credit. Perhaps Jesus was so disturbed that, bruh, I'm in front of you. I can heal Lazarus, and you keep insulting me by saying, why were you not here? Because if Jesus is God in the flesh, he's everywhere. Amen. So why are you insulting me when seemingly I'm away from you about something I can do away from you? Does that make sense? He was, when unbelief is in the presence of Jesus, it really upsets him. Because it's like he's going, imagine you guys are the residents of Bethany right here. And Jesus is walking through Bethany and you guys have unbelief. I have the ability to heal you guys, but you have doubts and unbelief. The Bible says in one passage, he went to a place and he could do no miracles because of their what? Unbelief. Their unbelief. It's like, how do you think that would make Jesus feel? It's like, dang. Somebody ever ticked you off and you had the ability to help them? You had the ability to put a good word in for them, but they shaded you or they, you know, it's like, okay. Okay, that's okay. I was going to give you $100, but then now, yeah, you was like, you know, that's, I heard you talking about me. Oh, I'm the person that can actually help you with something you're struggling with. Somebody said, exactly. Yeah, I saw that one. In other words, Jesus is like, man, all you have to do is believe. So Bethany represents a place, perhaps, this place. Are you going to pray in the company of a Mary? All right. I said I was going to talk about this later, and I won't. I'll wait. All right. Hopefully I can get to it. Let's talk about the R, because we only own the R in prayer. All right, let's keep going. The R in prayer stands for reap. Everybody say reap. Everybody say reap. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Everybody say present. So I'm up here presenting in school, sir. I keep picking on you, but you're going to have to present possibly the semester. You're going to have to get up and present. The Bible says, present your requests to God. So see yourself as a presenter. A presenter gets things together. They make a case. How are we presenting our supplications to God? Because when I used to present at Anderson University, I would get nervous. I would overthink it. Sometimes I would underprepare, and my presentation was horrible. Look at somebody and say, how was your presentation? Present your request to God. Present, the root word for presentation. Present your request to God. Woman, get me something to eat out of the refrigerator. Raider, that's from the last movie, from last week. Is Lex going to do it? Horrible presentation. Present your request to God. Present presentation. A, ask in his name. John 14, 13, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So everybody get two hands up. And thank y'all for, I know y'all writing too, you don't have to stop, but if is what you're asking matching what the scripture says here, the Son being glorified? You ought to juxtapose when you're asking from God. Maybe put your prayers under a microscope, under surveillance. I am asking, and now the Son being glorified. Maybe what you're asking will go back down, regroup, and come back up. Because, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What am I asking? Is it going to glorify the Son? You have enough intel to weed it out. Weed out your prayers. All right? Verse 12 says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. That is the scripture that is right before John 14, 13, that helps give us context on what we should be praying. Amen? Is it kingdom business? Amen? Or is it selfish ambition? All right? Are we still on asking his name? John 16, 23. All right? Let's read this together. John 16, 23. In that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Because when you start asking in his name, that hand that we had up, it starts to expose what you should be asking for and if you should be regrouping. Because when you ask in his name, it's like, that doesn't match his Son being glorified. Does that make sense? Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be made full. This whole prayer thing is revealing itself more and more about self-denial. Amen? It's just revealing more and more about less asking and more about, God, your will be done. Let's keep going. James 4, 3, ask in whose name? His name. In whose name? Ask in his name, Jesus. That name gets people upset for some odd reason. Just go screaming Jesus like all the time this week, like loud every second and see what happens. See how much trouble that gets you. Amen. It's like, but Jesus is peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Say his name all week like that. Go to work and say, hey, boss, in Jesus' name, I greet you. Hey, teacher, in Jesus' name, I greet you. What's going to happen? Amen. You'll see what happens. But his name gets results. Amen. James 4, 3, you ask and you do not receive is my question. Because you ask amiss. Everybody say amiss. In other words, wrongly, to spend it on your passions. When I ask in his name, why am I not getting results? You're asking wrongly. Amen? Let's keep reading. Ask in his name. James 5:16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne with our presentation of grace with confidence. Everybody say confidence. Because we know we have our presentation together. And we know this, we're praying God's will. But that's why we have to read God's word. Because what does God want? I don't know what God's want. Hold up your Bible if you have your paper Bible this morning. This is what God wants. I don't know what he wants. What does he want for my marriage? What does he want for this church? It's in his word. Amen? It's in his word. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And this would be a good place to stop today because it's been loaded so far. But I want to give you the meat of this, all right? Everybody say yield to the ecosystem and response of God. I've never read one of those books, The Love Languages of, what is it called? Love Languages? The Five Love Languages. In other words, they even have the love languages of kids or teens. What that means is basically, I want to be communicated to a certain way. I want to be talked to a certain way. My love language is XYZ. Whose love language in the room is when somebody gives you a gift, you know for a fact that's your love language. Raise your hand so I know how to proceed. This is your love language. Raise your hand if you like gifts. Yeah, you like gifts. That's one of your love languages. All right? If your love language is if somebody blessing you with a good meal that they prepared, and you know that they prepared a good meal for you, that's my love language. Amen? A love language is words of affirmation, compliments. You're nice. You're smart. You're a great father. Some people respond to that. Some people don't. So in marriages, we have, you know, we're just trying to figure out what's your love language. What's your love language? You like to be hugged? I don't like to be hugged. You like to be kissed on the forehead? No! I don't want to be kissed on the forehead. That's not your love language. So the ecosystem of God is what we're trying to figure out, how to get things done. Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So how is that happening? God has given us authority. So should God come to earth and just chest things out, like manifest, like he moved things so his will could be done? Is he doing that? Is he seemingly doing that? Is he seemingly snapping his finger and filling this church up with people that we can minister to? Is he doing that? Doesn't seem like it. Has he given us the authority to do that? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Has he given us the authority to make it happen? Yes. Amen. Matthew 17:21, Mark 9:14 exposes the ecosystem of God. All right. And so this will be a good place to end. Y'all stand up for me, guys. So I want to close with this homework and this charge to figure out the ecosystem of God through his word. John 11, write this down because this is homework. Because if you just read this passage, you're going to get a glimpse of the ecosystem of God and how things should be done, how things will get done. Do you think we can pray 2 seconds a week and get anything done? Alpheus? I'm not. Probably not. Thank you. Probably not. No. But perhaps, so I don't know if you guys have stayed true to your 30 minutes. Mine was 30 minutes last week. If you were not here, I gave away some money. If you stayed true to it, or if you didn't stay true to it, I did give away some money. And it represented seconds, time that you should spend with God. And so certain things, everybody say certain, you thought you, I got 30 minutes for 30 cents.
I did 3 hours with God on Tuesday.
How much money is that?
I don't know, but I was thinking I could afford this.
No, I didn't give away that much money.
He's probably had 2 minutes for the past 3-4 months, so it was a good
playing catch up. You're playing catch up. I get it. I'm like you, we're a lot alike. So in this passage where in Mark is recorded in Matthew 17, 21 and Mark 9:14, the end of it says basically Jesus' disciples said, you're getting a lot of results, Jesus. We're not getting the same results. Jesus said, these kind of results happen when you pray and fast. These kind of results. Everybody say these kind of results. Everybody say these kind of results. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to write on your paper what kind of results you want to see happen in the next 30 days. All right. And so I understand if you have to sit back down. No worries if you have to sit back down. This is just a class anyway. Write it on your phone. What kind of results do you want to see in the next 30 days? And this is how we're ending. But this kind does not go out. In this context, it was basically casting out a evil spirit, a unclean, a demon in a little boy or in a son, a father's son. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. You want to do what I do, humans? Do what I do. Prayer is the key that unlocks miracles, signs, and wonders. So simple is so hard. Amen. I'm just talking to me. Why is it so hard to communicate with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? 24 hours in a day. And even if you can't do like what I'm doing, like you do this, I'm not even talking about this. Like I have a 45 to 55 minute drive on the way back home. If I was by myself and Lex wasn't distracting me, I could use that time to do what? The proximity of prayer with your problems. So we can, God knows we're in life. We're at work, you know. Take your break. Consider taking your break and just a few minutes of non-interrupted praying. Because whatever you wrote on your paper, your prayer is going to have a direct result of what you put on your paper. Your prayer is going to cause what's on your paper to happen or to be fixed. That's what I'm trying to say. So this should be an encouraging message. Sir, I already pray. I pray. Are you seeing results? Amen. How are you praying? Go back and listen to this teaching, and there were some things said as it relates to insight to how to get it done. God's ecosystem. Amen. Belief. Not praying amiss. Alfie's is selfish. Oh, he's selfish. Amen. I want ketchup on my chicken Alfredo. And I'll eat it in front of anybody. Yeah, I know you think it's nasty. I see the look. But I don't care. That's what I like. Amen. That's what I like. That's what I'm going to do. Anybody got some things you're going to do? What you're going to do? You're going to do what you're going to do. Amen. That's what I like. This is how I drive. This is how I drive. This is how I eat. This is how I dress. This is what I do. But we can't go to God like that. Amen. And so I think as we decrease in prayer, our posture in prayer, I am believing we're going to see some things happen. Amen. Around us, in our homes, in our city, in this church, when we humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways, seek God's face, we know it's going to happen. So everybody close your eyes and take this time to communicate to God. The series is not over. We're going to continue this.